This is Jordan Seculo. President Trump swears in his new chief of staff, General John Kelly.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
The President of the United States has a new chief of staff, General John Kelly, retired general, who was the already Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, where we've seen a 70% reduction in illegal border crossings. That's without the wall being built. We saw the implementation, ultimately, of the travel orders, the pauses or the bans. It was DHS, DOJ, who had to fight those in courts, but DHS who actually implemented those. Those were implemented by General Kelly. And now he comes to the White House after the fallout, I believe, of health care. It was interesting, Logan. I was on Fox Business Live when this news broke.
Right.
I had a couple minutes of commentary. I was on to speak about something else, but obviously this broke. And I believe that Reince Priebus, one, he already had said he was probably only there for like a year. So this is not that shocking, some of the shakeup that was happening in the White House. And two, the failure to get Obamacare repeal across the line. That was a lot of that was put on Reince Priebus because of his long-term relationships with those Republican members of the House and Senate. And then it was the Senate, ultimately, that was the demise of that repeal. Now, President Trump, and we'll talk about this as well later in the broadcast, is threatening some of the cost-sharing reduction measures and the subsidies that go to Obamacare, and even paying for the subsidies that cover the members of Congress. So he is trying to say to the members of Congress, do not give up. Right now, it appears they have given up on health care. But I think the big news today, what we're going to get into, are a couple of things happening on a foreign policy front. North Korea launching an ICBM on Friday. You've got an Iranian confrontation of another U.S. vessel in the Persian Gulf, and a new White House chief of staff. This is a big deal, folks, when someone like this is brought in to the White House. So we'll take your phone calls on all of this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be bringing in our own retired Colonel Wes Smith to discuss General Kelly once again. First on, he was on discussing him as the DHS nominee for Department of Homeland Security. He's been in that position rather successfully, and now as the new chief of staff, and certainly a different kind of person than bringing in a former RNC chair to run your White House, which is really the chief of staff's role. Now, this is a unique White House. It's a different kind of president, and I think that you have to have a different probably skill set. And General Kelly likely does have that because of his role as a general. He was the head of Southern Command. I mean, this is a four-star Marine general with a lot of experience running massive operations. But I think to underscore the importance of this position, Logan, he leaves the cabinet.
Right.
Which is, you know, a cabinet-level position as the head of a department of the government to take on the chief of staff role. It shows how important that role is to the presidency and to the running of our executive branch.
Yeah, I think when people hear the term chief of staff, they don't necessarily understand exactly what that all entails. It sounds like, oh, you're the manager. You're the assistant manager to the president. Not quite. You are exactly, you know, kind of what sounds the chief of everything going on really within that White House.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one person describe it as, if you focus on the chief part, you may get it wrong.
Right.
Focus on the of staff. You are the head of all of the staff. Most of that staff has very little direct contact with the president of the United States. You're the gatekeeper, if you will. There's that handful of staff that will always have the access, and you know that as chief of staff. But then you're the gatekeeper for everyone else who is requesting meetings, from foreign leaders who are requesting meetings, from politicians and elected officials who are requesting meetings. You act as the gatekeeper for the president to the extent that the president allows. And that also, this is a different White House, a little more flexibility from the president, who likes to freewheel a little bit more. That doesn't mean that you don't have a big job to do. A bigger job, you might say, than even being head of the Department of Homeland Security. I want to take your phone calls about this White House shakeup. What do you think about it? A new chief of staff at the White House and President Trump's threat to cut some of those subsidies on Obamacare to the insurance companies. 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. You can also comment online. We're broadcasting at Facebook and Periscope.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. A lot to cover, but first, we have to cover the president's new chief of staff, a new White House chief of staff who was just sworn in this morning, retired general, four-star general John Kelly, who was previously serving already in the Trump administration, so he went through the confirmation process quite easily, actually, to become Department of Homeland Security chair, and did a great job there in a very short period of time. In fact, the president referenced that this morning. Take a listen. This is from the Oval Office, Byte 18.
We just swore in General Kelly. He will do a spectacular job, I have no doubt, as Chief of Staff. What he's done in terms of homeland security is record-shattering. You look at the border, you look at the tremendous results we've had, and you look at the spirit. And with a very controversial situation, there's been very little controversy, which is pretty amazing by itself. So I want to congratulate you on having done a fantastic job, General, and we look forward to, if it's possible, an even better job as Chief of Staff.
That's right, sir. Thank you.
So, again, that was this morning. He does not have to be confirmed for this position. He just gets sworn in. But I wanted to bring in a former retired colonel, Wes Smith, our military analyst here at the ACLJ, because, Wes, we once talked about General Kelly as part joining the president's cabinet as DHS secretary. Mm-hmm. Now, in a very unique role as Chief of Staff, which is, again, I said this before to people, but it underscores the importance of this position, that you would leave a cabinet-level position to take on this role of Chief of Staff. So it's not a step down. It's actually really a step up, because you are the person closest to the President of the United States in the day-to-day operation of the presidency, who is in the meetings, who has got access to the president, what foreign leaders do, what our other elected officials do, really the agenda for the president each day. Will be the role of General Kelly, and he's coming in at a very unique time.
He is, most definitely. Yeah, this is a position that is probably the most influential position in the White House, as far as, like you said, the president's schedule, but also his policy, his agenda, getting his message out, and then controlling the senior staff at the White House. People often think of a four-star general, he is a retired Marine Corps general, as being, well, he's involved with military strategy and fighting wars and Marines. And that is all true. But when you are in the military at that level, you are used to running very large, very complex organizations. And so he brings this skill to the White House that he understands how to run an organization like that. But also in the military, he has both served as a chief of staff multiple times as a senior Army officer, because there are chiefs of staff in the Army as well. And in addition to that, as a four-star general and a three-star, he would have had chiefs of staff working for him. So he brings not only the military background, with an emphasis on good order and discipline, and the military background of running a large, complex organization. But in addition to that, he knows what an effective chief of staff does. And as you said, he tends to be the gatekeeper, should be the gatekeeper for the president. An effective chief of staff empowers the leader to focus on the big picture and not to be overwhelmed with the minutiae of the day. And people say, well, what about the president's family who will still have access to the president, or Scaramucci, people like that? In the military, there are still people who have direct access to the general officer or to the commander as well. For example, the chaplain and the sergeant major in the military do not have to have an appointment with the commander, and they can go in and speak confidentially. That does not undermine the commander's ability to get things done. It's the same way with the White House chief of staff. The fact that there will be a select few people who have direct access to the president does not undermine the president, and it certainly doesn't undermine the chief of staff. But as a rule, General Kelly will be the one who tries to keep the small things, the minutiae, from overwhelming the president, and will control both who gets in to see the president and what they talk about when they get in.
Now, what is interesting is he is also coming at a time when there's a lot happening around the world. Now, of note, you know, communications-wise, the White House is going to have another on-camera briefing today. I think it's scheduled for 3:45 p.m. Eastern time with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. But there's a lot happening in the world. I want to take people's calls about this as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Because, Wes, Friday, North Korea launches another intercontinental ballistic missile. We have Iranian ships and warning shots being fired from our ships in the Persian Gulf. I mean, having people like General Kelly there as well at a time when, you know, you've got the president calling China out, new Russia sanctions, diplomats, 700-plus diplomats being expelled from Russia, and two properties being taken back that are American properties in Russia. I mean, there's a lot happening around the globe.
Boy, I've in my lifetime, I don't think there have ever been as many complex and difficult issues going on simultaneously in the world, and you just mentioned those. The deal with Russia is very, very complex. Russia also, along with China, continues to support North Korea financially and with trade and other things. But you're right, Friday's launch of this ICBM was unprecedented. This ICBM, of course, all intercontinental ballistic missiles, in order to target whatever they're aiming for, have to go into outer space and then execute a reentry. This missile did that. It flew 2,600 miles into space. No one, not even our own rocket scientists at NASA, thought that North Korea had this capability to launch a solid fuel rocket that far up and to gain a successful reentry. If the trajectory had been different, had they been aiming across the globe as opposed directly up into space, the Washington Post is reporting that this missile could have reached the mainland of the United States, wow, including cities like Denver and Chicago.
So, I mean, there's a lot of palace intrigue, if you will, some rightfully so, at the White House. So you got a new chief of staff, so we're going to discuss that's an important role in our country, an important decision that the president's made. But the world is still, you know, going at full speed, whether it's North Korea, Russia, or Iran, or the battle against ISIS. And, of course, then we'll see who is goes forward as potentially the new nominee to take over the Department of Homeland Security, which is very important. I want to take your phone calls on it. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And what do you think about the president really threatening to cut the subsidies? They are called cost-sharing reductions, CSRs, that go to the insurance companies, but also would affect the insurance that those on Capitol Hill, the elected officials, get as well. I think we got a call coming in about that, Logan. Let's take that one because I think it's an interesting one. And President Trump has hit it on line three.
Let's go to Mike in Missouri on line three. You're on
the air.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys, thank you very much for your work. And I agree. If Congress is so excited and so happy about Obamacare that they don't want to vote it out, they want to just call it quits, I think President Trump should sign something and say, here, you guys, you like it? You have Obamacare along with everybody else. They can suffer like the rest of us.
Well, that's what President Trump tweeted out 3 hours ago, Mike. I'll read it to you. If Obamacare is hurting people, and it is, why shouldn't it hurt the insurance companies? And why should Congress not be paying what the public pays? So he's been calling Congress out. I want to get people's thoughts about that. 1-800-684-3110. I mean, this idea, it would have serious ramifications to basically implode Obamacare on its own to force Congress to come up with a replacement, because there will be no Obamacare. The president kind of has that potential to hit that button without doing those subsidies. Again, the pushback would be strong. The opposition to that would be strong. I think you'd have to have people on board with what's coming, because the insurance companies would probably not be able to handle it. But I think it's a fair statement to say it's hurting people, but it's not hurting the insurance companies, because they get it offset from the federal government. They get monies paid. And it's not hurting the Congress and the elected officials at the federal level, because their staffs get different kinds of coverage. They're not paying what the American people are having to pay, nor are those members of Congress. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's why I think that the Obamacare issue is not quite over, to say the least. Regardless of how the House and the Senate might like this to be over, I don't think President Trump is going to allow them to just walk away from it. I think he's going to put too much on the table that he can do through executive power that would put this in jeopardy. So I will take your calls about that. We come back from the break, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Wes, as we got about a minute left before we go into our next break, can General Kelly, you think he's could take this job on? I mean, obviously, it's a unique president, unique White House with a unique staff. Is he up to this?
I think he is up to this. He's a solid guy. Again, very familiar with complex organizations and with the people skills and the organizational skills required to run those. But in addition to that, Jordan, it's obvious that President Trump truly respects the United States military. Three of his closest advisors now are former or present generals, H.R. McMaster, National Security Advisor, and then General Mattis, Secretary of Defense, and now John Kelly going from DHS to the White House Chief of Staff. I think they have a lot of influence with the president, and he will listen to them. And I think above all, whatever happens in the White House, I think he will respect John Kelly, and John Kelly will respect the president.
Folks, the president, a new chief of staff, and he is not giving up on pressuring the Senate to act on Obamacare. Now he's threatening the cost-sharing subsidies that would affect the insurance companies and also affect those members of Congress, their insurance. We'll talk about it all when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live, 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. A couple of big news items today. Obviously, first is that there is a new White House chief of staff. General John Kelly is a retired four-star general. He was most recently the head of the Department of Homeland Security, where, as President Trump said, take a listen this morning, Bite 11.
As you know, the border was a tremendous problem. And now close to 80% stoppage. And even the president of Mexico called me. They said their southern border, very few people are coming because they know they're not going to get through our border, which is the ultimate compliment.
Yeah. So, again, you have now that head of Homeland Security is now the new, he's been sworn in, a new White House chief of staff. And brought in Wes Smith, retired colonel. Wes, you've analyzed John Kelly before in his role coming in as Department of Homeland Security Secretary. This is a new role as Chief of Staff, but I want you to, again, and then we'll get back into Obamacare, folks, just kind of explain, I think, especially in light of what we're dealing with, you know, the president called out China over the weekend through Twitter because of their inaction on North Korea, saying they just won't do anything to stop North Korea after this ICBM launch on Friday, which, as you said, with a different trajectory, could hit the U.S. mainland. Second, you've got the Russia sanctions issue, the Russian response diplomatically. You have also what's going on with Iran. You've got the ISIS battle still ongoing. I mean, there's so many issues, military issues, that, you know, having him in that role may also help, even though the president's got a lot of military advisors. Having someone to kind of sift through all those advisors and help, I think, also is a major kind of an assistance that not many chiefs of staff could provide.
Yeah, exactly. He knows the military. He knows their senior leadership. He was a combatant commander as the commander of Southcom, Southern Command in the United States. And in addition to that, John Kelly is not a stranger to Capitol Hill. He's testified multiple times before Congress. And one of his prior assignments, he was the senior military advisor for Leon Panetta when he was the Secretary of Defense. So in addition to his organizational skills and certainly his understanding of military strategy and operations, General Kelly also is somewhat familiar with Capitol Hill. He may not have all of the political connections that someone like Reince Priebus had or others, but he is no stranger to how politics worked and what's required to influence Congress to go along with the president's agenda or see things from the president's viewpoint. So he has those skills as well. This definitely is not his first rodeo as far as being a mover and a pusher when it comes to policy and influence, as well as controlling that senior staff. And you're right, Jordan, the world with all this going on with North Korea and Russia and Iran and Syria and Afghanistan and on and on and on, General Kelly will know how to gather people for the president who will give him very much needed strategic advice on how to handle the defense issues that are a part of our country at this point.
And now, you know, folks, so again, we're going to monitor again. This is General Kelly's first week on the job as White House Chief of Staff. We will monitor closely to see if things change, if the tone change. We know that there's a White House press briefing with cameras scheduled for later on this afternoon. So that change is being kind of re-implemented. The cameras back on, if you will, a White House press briefing. But here is the tweet that really started all the news about healthcare once again. President Trump over the weekend said if a new healthcare bill is not approved quickly, he calls them bailouts for insurance companies and bailouts for members of Congress will end very soon. What is he talking about there? He's talking about CSRs, cost-sharing reduction subsidies to insurance companies that offset their healthcare costs under Obamacare. So that because of the way that that system was done, we actually have to keep paying money to those companies to offset how much it's costing them to provide this coverage, which isn't even very good. And that he thinks he demands it, said that unless Republican senators are total quitters, repeal and replace is not dead, demand another vote before voting on any other bill. So he has said this needs to move forward, Logan, before we go on to any other topic, which is very different than what we've heard from both House and Senate leaders. Yeah. So I think people are at least encouraged. That's where he is. But I'd like to get some phone calls on it.
Yeah, let's do it. Some people have been holding a while. Let's take it real quick. Let's go to Mary, who's calling Buffalo, New York, on line five.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I am all for him taking off the cost-sharing thing off for the congressmen and senators, and I think for our former presidents, too, with Obama. Why should he get the lesser cost when we have to pay the full cost? You know, I mean, maybe they would think more about what they're voting on and have something that's fair for everybody, you know, including the people who are pre-existing conditions, and they'd have more competition, which would, you know, help the whole thing, too.
Well, and Mary, you bring up an interesting point there, because this time around, they realized politically they were going to have to include themselves in the new health care. Yeah. And guess what happened? They didn't come to an agreement on a new health care plan, because the House had already done it in their plan. They said, this is going to apply to us. No more exemptions for us. The Senate was going to vote on that same kind of measure. You have to wonder if that played a role in it not passing, because they realized, oh, we're not just legislating now for the people, other people. We're legislating for how this will affect our family and our staffs and their family, and which it should. And that should be how they have to legislate. And yet that wasn't what they were doing when they passed Obamacare. They exempted themselves out of it. And that's really who did that. It wasn't Republicans. It was Democrats who exempted themselves out of it. But Republicans are getting the benefit of those less costly and much more all-inclusive plans, if you will, for themselves, for their staffs, for their families. So it's a fair point. The president can push the implode button. Okay, he can implode this, but you better be ready to act, Congress. I mean, this would be politically, it'd be very risky, just to be quite honest with people. I'll take more phone calls, more comments. Your comments coming in through Facebook as well, Logan. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air.
This is from Anita, and it's a question that comes back a lot of times. I think we're just too far down that rabbit hole to change it. But she says, Anita said, should government even be involved in health care? Yeah.
Well, I think that the government's always been involved in regulating commerce, and health care is part of that.
Right, absolutely.
So one of the big issues, you know, people say, well, can we get it to where you can buy, President Trump tweeted about it, get insurance to where you can have cross-state competition, where you can buy insurance across state lines. That would have to be legislated. You've got to go through a legislative process. Being able to keep people on their parents' insurance longer is through a legislative process. The idea, again, I think Obamacare went further. You don't have to regulate that much. You can give back a lot more freedom to the states. But remember, we have these long-time programs in our country, Medicaid and Medicare, which are both entwined into all of our healthcare systems and our tax system. So we're never going to be totally, the government's never going to be totally out of the healthcare game, right, so long as we have Medicare and Medicaid at a minimum. And people don't like when you start talking about changing those.
What I think is interesting, Jordan, is that on television, most of the people that you hear singing the praises of Obamacare are not on it.
Right.
Your Hollywood elites, your East Coast wealthy people, your politicians, they are not on Obamacare.
No.
I happen to know personal friends who have a healthcare card. They don't have coverage because they cannot afford the deductibles and all the things that go with it.
Yeah, they can't use it. If they can find a doctor who can take it, they can't afford to use it. So it's fake insurance. It's like giving people this phony idea that you're covered when, in fact, it's impossible for you economically to pay for that coverage, even if you got it. And second, very difficult to find someone who will accept that coverage at all. But we'll take more of your calls, more of your comments. We got a second half hour coming up.
We do have another half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live. If you don't get us on your local station, make sure to slip on over to Facebook and Periscope and ACLJ.org. Again, broadcasting from Jordan's Periscope today, so make sure you go over and check out. You can find it on Twitter as well, though, at twitter.com/JaySekulow. You'll see he retweeted it. And again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Download the ACLJ app and visit ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Talking about freedom.
Jay Sekulow Live in our second half hour. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I know our dad's in Washington, D.C. today. It won't be able to be on the broadcast with us, but it's got important meetings. I'm sure he'll inform us about on the broadcast or what he can tomorrow. We are taking your calls. We're discussing, one, the new White House Chief of Staff. If you're just joining us, on Friday, this was announced via Twitter by the president that the new White House Chief of Staff would be General John Kelly. He previously served as the Secretary of Homeland Security since the beginning of the Trump presidency, so he's already in the Trump cabinet. Went through that full confirmation process very easily. He was the head of the military Southern Command and four-star Marine general, who will now be serving as the president's second chief of staff, Reince Priebus, who I think, you know, his focus was healthcare and the relationships he had with the members of Congress and kind of keeping the Republicans on board. And I think that because that did not come to fruition through these healthcare votes, a lot had to do with that. Some had to do with the fact that he was always seen as a short-term chief of staff, that it would not be probably more than a year. So we were about 6-7 months in. And so I think, it, you know, time for a shakeup. I think most people watching could realize that's probably was realistic, that it was time for a little shakeup in the White House, and to figure out exactly, not so much for the viewers. I mean, we know the president's in control and the people looking in, but for those operating in Washington, like congressmen and senators and executive branch staff, knowing who to go to, knowing who the gatekeeper is, who the information centers are, is very important. So I think his role, we will see. I mean, this is, it'll be his first day is on the job is today. He was sworn in by President Trump, did a great job at DHS very quickly on cutting back illegal immigration. So I think on implementation level, he will be great. I think it's just going to be his on the relationship level. This will be obviously something new for him in the sense that he will not be dealing with law enforcement officials like he was at DHS or military officials on a day-to-day basis. These are civilians and political right. operatives who come at things a bit differently. But we know where people are focused on. It's where President Trump is focused on as yep. well, and that's healthcare.
Yeah,
that's calling
so
out
many comments, so many calls.
The senators in their filibuster rule, I mean, and saying they need to do across state lines and not give up and not do any other legislation until they get the repeal done. Let's take calls about it.
Yeah, I think people are just fed up with it, and they're not going to just lay down and take it at this point. Let's go to Rosemary, who's calling on line 3. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Deplorable here from Oklahoma City.
Hey, Rosemary.
I just want to thank you and President Trump for the stupendous job that everybody is doing. I agree with President Trump's tweet this morning to remove the CRS subsidies to the insurance companies, and also that Congress should pay the exact same thing that we're paying, and they should be on the same plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is in line with how most people, one, I think people are still shocked and sometimes surprised to find out that government officials in our entire federal government actually do not have the same insurance as Obamacare.
Right.
They are not part of the exchange. I don't think any of the government bureaucrats are. They all get separate federal coverage. So it's not just the congressman. It's also that whole bureaucracy. They love Obamacare because they get exempted from it and they get their great government health care plans. The House, when they took action on this, remember, they've already taken action on the repeal and replace. They did pass the to make sure that they were not exempted, to make sure they were included in the new health care plan. So Republicans chose to do that. Democrats chose, when Obamacare passed, to exempt themselves. The Senate was expected to do the same thing if they could get it passed, but they could not. They're acting like it's all over, but President Trump is not. So when we come back from the break, I want to get your thoughts. Do you stand with the president in this fight, really with the U.S. Senate and Republicans in the Senate, to get back to work on repealing and replacing Obamacare? Are you willing to keep fighting on this issue? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and let us know. Join the conversation if you're watching instead of listening to the broadcast on Facebook and Periscope. Logan, people get their comments in.
That's right, you can. You get your comments in. Phone lines are jammed. There will be exclusive video for those of you watching. It's a little off topic because things switched up, but it's about the situation going on in North Korea. You'll find that during the break. Again, exclusive videos always run during the breaks and if we don't go live, and that is on our Facebook feed. So why settle for commercials? Come join us online. Great.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. A new White House Chief of Staff, General John Kelly. It was announced Friday, but he was sworn in today. He's a retired four-star general Marines. He was most recently serving as Secretary of Homeland Security. We've discussed that. We've gotten into his bio. Again, if you didn't get that part of the show, you can go back and listen. We post online at aclj.org, on our Facebook pages, and on Twitter, places like that, through Periscope, so you can check that conversation out. But what we have noticed is that even with a lot going on around the world, I mean, you've got an ICBM launch by North Korea, one that, if on the right trajectory, could have hit mainland United States. So once they compare that with a nuclear material warhead, I mean, you've got, again, a very serious threat there that affects our country. The president discussing that, and China's lack of role in containing North Korea and their missile program and these provocative acts. You have in the Persian Gulf, Iran, the U.S. vessels having to fire warning shots at Iranian vessels. You've got, again, the Russia sanctions that will be signed, tougher sanctions by President Trump, and Russia's response, which is expelling 755 American diplomats from Russia. So you've got that. You've got ISIS, still that war waging. A lot happening around the world. And yet domestically here at home, people left with the, kind of their hands up in the air when it comes to their own health care, something that they feel the immediate impact of. And that is certainly clear from the calls we are receiving right now. And Logan, yep, Let's go to the phones.
All right, let's do it. Let's take some of these in order, because some people have been holding for a while, at least for now. Let's go to Lori in Washington on line two. Lori, thanks for holding.
Hi. How are you all doing today?
Hi, we're good.
Great. My perspective is a little different than many of the people. I'm a retired physical therapist, a healthcare provider, and I have watched over the past 25 years and more how the insurance companies have taken over more and more and more of the power of being able to have people utilize their benefits. And I have to say that there are plenty of indication that this is exactly why they want to keep Obamacare in. And I think that the point is that we're not getting good health care, and it has nothing to do with the insurance. It has to do with the availability of the insurance companies having to provide what they say are their benefits.
Right. Well, that's exactly the point, is that all these people, Lori, got covered. They get these cards through Obamacare, and their deductibles are so high, and it's so difficult to work with the insurance companies. They don't want to cover all these different tests. It's not that we don't have the technological capabilities or the medical facilities available and the training. We do. We have the best trained doctors in the world to carry out the necessary health care. It's the cost. It's the fighting with the insurance company. They are being prohibitive. They're not. They're not the ones that actually carry out any of the health, like you said, of the medical work. But they're the ones who authorize it and pay for it. So their role in it is extremely important, and you could even say now invasive in people's lives, because it's not like you just go to the doctor with these Obamacare cards, give them your insurance card, pay $50 or something like that, and go and get whatever procedure the doctor suggests. That's not the case anymore. The doctor is not always the final say. They've got to then fight with the insurance companies, and only they're only willing to fight with some insurance companies. Others, they say, you know, they're so bad that they'll never get paid or never get reimbursed for the medical care that they have provided to you. So again, we're going to continue to take people's calls on this. But what I really think is important is that people are going to continue to fight on this, that they're not giving up, that they're going to stand with President Trump and not give up on pushing for action at the congressional level, both in the Senate and, if necessary, the House once again, that people are not going to give up on this issue. And we got a couple phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on the air. Logan, any comments you want to go to, or we should go back to the phones?
Yeah, some people are actually commenting too. Obviously, it's healthcare, but people are commenting about the North Korea situation. So maybe that's something we want to address somewhat, because if you weren't watching online, we did play a video in the break because that was the intended topic.
Yes.
The thing shifted.
So North Korea fired at another ICBM. This landed in the was it Sea of Japan?
Yes.
So it actually landed in the ocean area.
A couple 100 miles off shore, I believe. Not that far.
It was done in a trajectory, this ICBM, basically straight up into the atmosphere, so straight back down. If they would have just launched it out, like pointing toward, it would have come close. Many believe that this could hit U.S. mainland. Now, we have missile defense systems, not to say that those wouldn't be employed. But the scare here is that if they've got this capability, one, they can start exporting it to other countries. But two, do the other countries have that technology already as well, like Iran? Who does not need such a long-range weapon to take out, let's say, Israel with nuclear devices. Now, the big question with North Korea is you can have these big missiles. Can you wed them with the nuclear materials and to deliver a nuclear weapon? But you're dealing with a regime that I think is unpredictable and crazy enough to potentially utilize nuclear weapons in this day and age. And if they can hit our mainland, well, the threat has become very different than just a threat to our allies like South Korea or Japan. It's become a threat directly to the American people that the president has to take into account. We've been talking about this. It's getting worse. And the president has said, and it'll be interesting to see how this diplomatically goes, that China has done nothing. He's tried to work with China on this and that they have done nothing to contain this program. So he's very upset with China. You can see, again, more reaction there. As well, I think we can expect that may be the last hope at some diplomacy, like a warning to China. If you don't do more, we will have to step in. And if we step in, you will be feeling the consequences of this because you'll have military action on your border. So will Russia. So will South Korea and Japan very close as well. So, again, the U.S., though, is only going to let this threat develop so far before it's too much of a threat to our own country and our own people in the United States of America. Logan, let's take another phone call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Betty, who's calling on line 6. A little bit different, but Betty's been on hold for almost a half hour, so we appreciate it. Betty, you're on the air. Put her back on hold. Let's go over to Mitchell, who's calling from Nevada. Maybe Las Vegas, maybe not. Mitchell, you're on the air.
Hey there. I got a lot to say about North Korea, but my question's about insurance. Every time I see things lobbied in Congress, I hear them talk about single payer.
Yep.
And I don't know what that really means. And the second question is, we used to have Blue Cross, which was great. And I don't think it's available anymore. And did it get forced out or did they opt out?
They may have pulled out where you are. Like in many places, these different insurance companies are just no longer offering insurance on specific markets. It's done by like what county you live in, Mitchell. So it may have been available at one time and now it's no longer part of the exchange. That doesn't mean you can't still, your company can't still work with like a Blue Cross or, you know, so if you get it provided from a company, things like that, where you work, they may still be able to, but at the insurance subsidy level. That's one. Now, what is single payer? Single payer is what is done in Western Europe and Canada. This is government-run healthcare. This is where there is no insurance companies. The government runs healthcare. They make all the decisions about healthcare. And again, this has not worked out so well for people who don't have extra means, because the government does have to start rationing care and making a lot of decisions, especially if you're older or if you have a more serious condition, if you're younger and the chance of you improving are less than maybe someone else in your age. They make the decisions because it's a single-payer, government-run system. And I think that that would be very scary in the United States of America. I see that horrible, tragic situation with Charlie Gard, and he has now passed away. It was the court making the decisions ultimately there. Really, the court waiting too long for the right. American doctors. And then when it was time for hospice care, the court would not allow the hospice care to be done at home, but it had to be done at the hospital. Why? Cost. So that's what single payer leads to. It leads to these decisions being made by the government and by judges, not by people, not by us. And that's the difference between having regular, real insurance where you still get to make decisions, and the government running insurance for you.
All right, let's go back to the phones as we head into a break. But before that, let's grab one more. Let's go to Alice, who's calling on line four. Alice, you're on the air, and give us a call. Lines are open.
Hi, I just have a few really, they've probably been hit around already. I'm sorry I didn't catch the first part of your show. My first thought is that our government officials are not royalty. They make laws for every American, including themselves. Therefore, no matter what they do on health care, Trump should get their perks and their waivers as far as that out, and they should automatically be covered under the same bill that gets passed.
I think the only way he could do that, Alice, because it's part of the legislation, is by taking the more extreme approach, which, again, you're all going to have to understand the implications of, if this was actually done, of no longer paying for the cost-sharing reduction subsidies, the CSR subsidies that go to insurance companies. You basically have to implode the entire system to get it there. And then you're going to have to, then Congress would have to come up with a replacement, because Obamacare would be, it would implode. So you'd all have to buy into this, because it would be a bit of a scary time and a bit of a hectic time for everybody. But it could turn out to be exactly what's necessary to get our healthcare system back on track. The fact that he is even floating these ideas should scare those insurance companies into calling those senators and saying, you know what, you better get something through. You better get some action on healthcare. We'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Thank you for your support.
There's literally one line open, the segment that we take all the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to try to grab that line, 1-800-684-3110, one line open. And it is clear that even with the new chief of staff, with North Korea's ICBM, with China issue, with the Russia issue, with the Iran issue, ISIS continuing, that healthcare is, which makes sense to me, is so important to so many of our listeners. And not giving up on this battle. They agree with President Trump to keep fighting it. And Logan, that's what the calls are about. And again, I think that's good news for all of us who work on these issues, that you still care. You have not given up. Let's go to the phones.
Yep, let's go to line one. Who's calling? Paul is calling from Arizona. On line one, you're on the air.
Hey, fellas. Appreciate what you do. Thank you for everything. I have the same feeling. I'm with President Trump on this issue with regarding subsidies to health care. But is it constitutional? I mean, I've heard people on social media, oh, he can't do that. That's a dictatorship, et cetera.
Could he not pay? I think that they're actually looking into that right now. I mean, that's, if you saw Secretary Price over the weekend, he was did some of the Sunday shows. He was asked directly about the president's tweet. He said they were looking at the legalities of it. I think that it's the fact that it's even an option that the president is looking into, Paula, is scaring them, literally the insurance companies and the left, because they realize that if you hit that button, and we're not talking about, again, the president has a lot of executive power. This cost sharing is not actually part of Obamacare. It's something that came as a measure to a stopgap measure that was put in place because Obamacare was failing from the get-go. It needed more money to the insurance companies. The insurance companies needed a bailout, continual bailout. And that's what we mean when we say cost sharing reduction, CSR. We are talking about subsidies. Get this. Subsidies from our taxpayer dollars to insurance companies so that Obamacare can continue to provide horrible coverage to the American people. So I think that that is all looking, being looked at, the legalities of that. But I think the fact that the president's even thinking there and going there is enough really to probably spur some action on Capitol Hill, if enough of you care about it. Now, from our show, it appears you do. And Logan, we could continue to
Even if we don't
want
to talk
that.
About it, they want to talk about it. So, all right, let's move on. Let's go to Ryan, who's calling in Arizona on line two. We had Paul and then Ryan. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. You know, the Fortune 100, how many companies are related or are in the business of healthcare? So it's clearly profitable. So my point is, instead of single payer, why aren't we looking at a single price model where we negotiate their services on a large scale, save money, and then let's see how much, you know, we need the subsidy stuff.
I guess, Ryan, I mean, you come up with unique ideas. Who would be the negotiator there? Do you want your government doing that? That's kind of what they did through Obamacare. I mean, that was kind of what they did. I mean, do you want your government being your negotiator? Are you talking about your company? That's, you know, for most people, the way they get insurance is either through their place of work. So if you're a government employee, you get much better insurance than Obamacare. If you are a private employee of a large company or even mid-size, your employer likely provides this as part of your salary benefits to you. You get insurance. You pay a fee for that insurance, but it's offset by your employer. And your employer is actually doing that, Ryan. They are negotiating for you. So it's actually what happens for most people. The question is, For the millions of Americans, it's not hundreds of millions. It's for the millions of Americans that fall in between the gap. They are not getting it from their employer, so they don't have an employer negotiating for them. They're not getting it from the government. They're not a government employee, so they're not getting it from even being a retired government employee. They're not eligible for Medicaid because of their economic, how much money they make, and they're not yet old enough for Medicare. So it's that gap of people, and it's how do you get them coverage where it's still affordable enough and it works. And right now, that hasn't been figured out. It just has. I mean, the Affordable Care Act doesn't do it. And certainly the Republicans could not figure out on an idea of even saying, we'll come up with the plan to do it in 2 more years. And they were not willing to sign on to that.
All right. Let's continue to take some more calls. Let's go to Edith in Pennsylvania on line five.
Hi there. My question is this. because Obamacare was passed without most of the congressmen and senators reading it, and to me was a dereliction of duty, and Nancy Pelosi announcing, yeah, let's pass it and we'll find what's in it. Could there be a legal way that President Trump could repeal and replace Obamacare through an executive order because of that?
No, it went through the normal legislative process. He's done about as much as he can. This cost-sharing measure may be the final step he could take to kind of implode the system. But he's done as much as he can. Remember, he has exempted all of us from the individual mandate penalties, from the employer mandate penalties. They've taken on agency rule changes at the HHS. But he cannot, as president, through executive order, repeal a law. I mean, that again, he has a lot of power as president. He doesn't have that much power. So I know many of us may wish that could happen. He can wave a magic wand and make Obamacare go away. You can't. Now, with a Republican House and a Republican Senate and a Republican president, it should be almost that easy. But so far, it's been the Republican House and the Republican Senate that have been the problem. You can't put this on President Trump. I don't care who tries. He has said, I am ready to sign it. Be creative. If you need the two-year extension, I'll sign the repeal with the two-year time frame to come up with a replacement. I'll sign the repeal and replace, even if people don't love it, as a phase one. This is not a president who's demanded so many different things. The Senate just has not been able to get it on the table. The House ultimately was, but not the Senate. Back to the phones we go.
All right, let's try to get through as many of these as we can. Apologize if we don't get to everybody. Penelope in Virginia, line six.
Hey, this is Penelope. I love you guys. You're my superheroes. But the reason I'm calling is I wanted to make a comment. I'm a retired government employee under the old plan, the CSRS,
yep,
Civil Service Retirement Plan. So I get government insurance. But I am standing with Trump, and I may be shooting myself in the foot, but I think something has to be done for the millions of people that are just fledgling out there, just dying on this Obamacare. And yeah,
I don't think, Penelope, you serve the government. The government promised this to you as part of your job. You've obviously served long enough. I don't think it should affect you. And I think it's great that you're willing to go that far. But I think you should be able to keep what you've been paying into. And that's very important. Now, I mean, you can talk about modernizing it for the next generations of government employees. I think that's fine. But what President Trump's really talking about is the members of Congress who exempted themselves out of the Affordable Care Act, and that we can't have that done, that these elected officials cannot keep exempting themselves that, so that they give themselves the care that you're getting, Penelope, which, as you know, is a whole lot better than what you get through the Affordable Care Act, and much more affordable. Back to the phones we go.
All right, one more call probably. Let's go to Lisa, who's calling in Modesto, California. You're on the air. Quickly.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm actually thrilled that the president has done this. I watched Nancy Pelosi yesterday on Fox very smugly talk about how the people had spoken and we want Obamacare and that, yeah, baloney. And I'm one of those people. With, I have a son with special needs. It's taken 9 months to get him in to see a doctor for a checkup.
That's absurd.
9 months.
That's absurd, Lisa. And Nancy Pelosi, I'm only cutting you off because I think it's a great example. It's 9 month wait. We only got 25 seconds left. Nancy Pelosi is saying that, in fact, people elected Republicans on a repeal message, repealing Obamacare. That is why there is a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president. It was to repeal Obamacare. I mean, that was the number one driving issue, and it's got to get done. Stand with the president. Let's get it done. Don't let the Senate fall back and just hide on this issue. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.